Hi, I'm Paul. I used to ask if you could hear me now with Verizon, but I switched to Sprint. They changed the game again with unlimited freedom. Unlimited mobile optimized streaming videos, gaming, music, and data for $60 a month. Can you hear that? Visit Sprint.com/freedom today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere for discounted phone. Subject to credit and $30 activation fees. Plus taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Streaming may be mobile optimized with video up to 480p and music up to 500 kilobytes per second. Games limited up to 2 megabytes per second. Private and network use rules apply and data deprioritization during congestion. Reliability claim based on third-party data restrictions apply.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams.
All right, rodeo fans, it's time for She's Gone Country with Becky. Introducing your hosts, Becky Christensen and Vicki Christensen O'Shields.
Good evening and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I just want to say thanks so much. If you're tuning in with us tonight, we are going to have a great show. We have a fun guest on with us tonight. And if you are listening, there's two ways you can find us. You can listen to us at www.blogtalkradio.com/4radio, F-O-R-E, as well as you can call in and listen to the show live. You can join us on the show, and that's calling 347-857-3760. And if you have something you want to visit with our guest about or ourselves, just press 1, and that will prompt you into our host queue where my producer, Maria DiGiovanni, will let us know that you're on the line. So thank you for tuning in. If you've missed any of our past shows, be sure to go to our website, shesgonecountry.us, and click on the radio show tab link, and you can view any of our past shows and listen to them there on our website, on your smartphone, tablet, whatever you got. You can find us and catch up with us and see all the things that we're up to. And, of course, find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So thank you for tuning in. I do want to say thank you to one of our other sponsors, Les Schwab Tires, for helping us and all that we're doing in our travels down the road in the Northwest to some of the events that have been happening around in our part of the neck of the woods up here, and all that they're doing for She's Gone Country with Becky and their support, and, of course, all of our other great sponsors, as you heard earlier. So thank you so much for continually backing She's Gone Country with Becky. I want to say good evening and welcome to my beautiful co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shields. Vicki, are you with me tonight?
I am here, Becky. We're going to have a great evening. We have such a great guest lined up.
We do. And Donalyn, our guest co-host, is not with us tonight. She is still out and about in her travels. So we just want to say hi, Donalyn. We love you, and we hope you're enjoying your time out there on the road. She's up in my neck of the woods visiting with all of her friends and family up here and conducting business up here. So we miss her, we love her, and wish her all the best. And she, I'm sure, will be back with us soon. She may try and pop in tonight. But if not, we just want to make sure we know that she knows that we are thinking about her. Tonight we have a really fun show. I am really excited about our guest. She's Gone Country with Becky, a little bit different than a lot of the shows that you're going to hear out there, because we are a genre of different, we're kind of a plethora of of different things that we talk about, because we are all things Western. We are all about preserving the Western way of life and the American cowboy and going back to our roots and just keeping everything from the past in the mind of the current so that our generations don't lose touch with where we came from and where we've been. Just I think it's really important. So we have guests from all walks of life. We have rodeo contestants. We have historians. We have musicians. You know, we have authors. You name it, we've had them on our show. We've had, you know, 501Cs that are out and about helping our communities by, you know, bringing the Western way of life to the urban communities and just lots of different things. So tonight I'm really excited because we have a gentleman that is joining us tonight that is, gosh, he has so many things that we could brag on him about tonight that I don't even know where to start. But he is an author, and he is a musician and a songwriter, and he's an award-winning songwriter and award-winning author, and he is also well-known for all of his treasure hunting. And tonight we have on the show with us W.C. Jameson. W.C., are you there?
I am.
Well, I am so excited to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us tonight. How are
Thank
things down there in the South in Texas?
It's warm. I just got back from a two-week tour in Colorado. It was a little bit cooler in Colorado than it is down here in Texas Hill Country, but I got to tell you, I was really glad to get home.
And W.C., this is Vicki, and we're having just a little bit problem hearing you, so maybe, you know, stand on your left foot instead of your right. I mean, that always helps with Blog Talk Radio, depending on where you hold the phone. But, you know, Becky, I have to tell you, you know, being from Llano, I mean, you know, when we first moved to Texas, we moved to Llano, and W.C. and his lovely wife live in Llano, so, you know, I'm especially proud tonight that we have a Llano night on the air with us. So welcome, W.C.
Thank you very much.
Well, and, you know, I got really excited last night because, you see, our listeners on Blog Talk, and I'm sure you know in all your travels and all the things that you do and all the many shows that you've been on, Blog Talk is a web-based platform, so it's heard from all over the world. And we have regular listeners and little listeners that tune in every week, but we also have listeners that call in randomly or find us on the web and decide to, you know, click in and listen to what we're all about. So I just wanted to see if you would, for a few minutes, you know, we take our first break in about 8 minutes, and I just would like to take a few minutes, and if you would share with our audience a little bit about yourself, because I know some people don't like to, you know, build and brag on themselves, but you have such a resume that I think it'd be great to hear it from you. Talk a little bit about yourself and what it is that you are so well known for.
Well, I wasn't expecting this question. I'm not sure how to answer it, but mostly I write. I'm a writer, and I just completed my 94th book was released a couple of months ago, and there are about three or four more that are in the chute ready to come out.
You're really cutting out. Is your cell phone cutting out on us a little bit, or do you want to maybe?
I can hear you perfectly. How about now?
Okay, now I can. There you are. Now I can hear you.
Okay, I'm outside now. I'm out in the heat and humidity of Central Texas. So.
Well, go right ahead.
Okay. I'm always flattered that people are interested in what I do. I write books. I write music. I write songs. I'm recording on my 7th CD. I think it's going to be released sometime later this year. And we're meeting with a producer and an engineer tomorrow, working on the 8th CD, which will come out sometime next year. So when I'm not writing books, I'm playing music and developing musical projects. It beats working. I've had jobs before, and I've always liked what I've done, but writing and playing music and performing, I don't know that I'm that much of a performer, but a lot of times when you write your own music, the only time that people are going to get to hear it is when you perform it, so I'm sort of a de facto performer.
W.C., I'm so sorry, WC. This is Vicki. And we are just, I don't know why we are having such problems here. We did not have these earlier before we went on the air when we were visiting.
Yeah.
WC, can we ask you, we're going to go to a break and ask you to please disconnect and then call back in. And we'll see if we can't get a clear connection, because we love your story and we want our listeners to be able to find out all about WC Jameson. Listeners, we'll be back in just a moment.
We'll give it a try.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I am joined tonight with my co-host, Becky Christensen-O'Shields. And we are visiting. We have a great guest on the line tonight, but we had a little bit of challenges with his connection. So we've asked him to hang up and call back in, so we're going to wait for him to, for our producer Maria to let us know when he's back on the line. But we are visiting with W.C. Jameson. And W.C. Jameson is an award-winning author. He has authored more than 90 books, 1,500 articles and essays. He's written 320 songs and dozens of poems. And we really are excited to have him online because he is really entrenched and in deep with the history of the Western way of life and all things that you think of when you think of cowboys and back in the day the way it used to be. So I believe he's back on the line. WC, are you there?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Much better.
Yay, we can hear you.
Good.
So how about that? Did I do okay on that introduction? Tell the audience a little bit about all the things you've done so far.
Well, we'll give that a shot. Mostly, I'm a writer. I started writing professionally when I was about 26 years old, and I haven't stopped. I've got something like 95 books published, and more coming, and I've got enough projects lined up to keep me busy for probably another 20 or 30 years or so. And when I'm not doing that, I'm playing music. In fact, this week is we've got a number of bookings. In fact, I have one of the top guitar players in the United States with me. He's accompanying me on these gigs. His name is Buddy Case. He has won a number of national picking contests. He's won an international songwriting contest, and we're going to hit the road here starting in a couple of days, and we're going to do some shows throughout as far as Texas.
Well, in WC, this is Vicki, and I mean, you know, singer-songwriter, Texas troubadour, I mean, Texas music, everything about music, the music scene in Texas, I mean, you have had, you know, yourself ensconced in it from day one. I do know that July 30th, I think I saw you're going to be right back home in Llano, Texas at the Badoo House. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah. We do a weekly show at Badoo House where my performing partner on Thursdays, Mike Blakely, and I do a song swap, and it's called Texas Music Thursdays. And we get to invite top songwriters and musicians throughout the state of Texas as our guests. And so we invite people we want to hear. We invite people that we love to perform with. And to sort of semi-repeat myself, our guest this week is the great Buddy Case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrific. And so that's coming up on this Thursday, correct, at the Badoo?
Coming Thursday, correct, right.
Okay, okay. And then, WC, fill us in a little bit more on, I mean, last time I think I talked to you, you were doing something down at, was it at Pooties? I don't know. You're all over the state, but let our listeners know a little bit more about music here in Texas, the scene for music.
Oh, sure. Well, this part of Texas, the Hill Country of Texas, particularly Austin, is known worldwide as the live music capital of the world. And there are musicians and songwriters from all over the country. And, in fact, other countries come down here to participate in this great adventure relative to the Texas music goings on. I do an every other Monday show at Pooties Roadhouse. Pooties is an iconic, historic roadhouse, at one time owned by Pootie Locke, who was Willie Nelson's road manager. The owner now is Sharon Burke, who is keeping the tradition of booking Texas songwriters, Texas performers, Texas musicians at this this really cool place. It's a great restaurant. It's a great beer joint. It's a great roadhouse. And some of the best music in the state of Texas can be heard there day in and day out. I think there's music there every day, every evening at Pooties Roadhouse.
Well, and let me see, this is Becky, and I wanted to share with the audience, maybe you could tell them a little bit where they can go to find your music, because I was actually on YouTube. I really wanted to see if I could download it and play it for our audience. And so maybe in the later part of our show, maybe you might be able to grab your guitar and play it live. I don't know. But Women Out West theme song, I love that song. Tell me a little bit and share with our audience a little bit where your passion in music was derived from. I mean, and what you typically write and sing about.
Well, I grew up in West Texas, and I grew up working on ranches. And so my experiences have always been related to ranching, been related to horses, cattle, to the whole cowhand culture. And so when I started, when I thought that I might have a future in performing music, and when I started writing my own music, I, of course, wrote what I knew about. And at that time, I didn't know much of anything. Most of my experiences have been related to the ranching experiences. So a lot of the early songs were about such things, ranching, cattle, horses, and the interesting characters that I had met over those years. Some of those songs are decades old. A lot of them have been recorded. And interestingly, they are songs that are still requested to this day, which I really enjoy playing. As my songwriting evolved, I expanded my horizons a bit. I didn't limit myself necessarily to the ranching and the cowboy culture, because it's still very near and dear to me. But I kind of branched out. I've played music in California, Mississippi, of course, Texas, Chicago, and other places. And I like to think that the things that I write about, the things that I sing about, have a certain universal appeal. I like to think that. Where the jury is out on that, I guess the listeners get to decide that.
Well, and you were named in 1999. You were named the Songwriter of the Year by the Texas Folk Music Guild. So that's a pretty nice testament to the type of music that is touching people out there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, that was a neat deal. I received a little trophy in the mail. when I learned about it, I didn't know anything about that until I received the award.
WC, with that award, though, came a lot of notoriety. And, I mean, you can walk into any place in Central Texas, all over the state, and someone knows you. I got really tickled because I love the song that you wrote. I hope my pony finds her way home, and it's off of your Unbridled Unplugged CD. And that's one of my favorites. But, I mean, there's so many wonderful, wonderful songs. And through your songwriting and singing, it's just kind of paralleled you into many things. Can you share with us a little bit, WC, about, you know, the books you've authored? I mean, where does your first passion lie? You know, you've got so many things going on.
I have two ongoing series right now that are doing fairly well. My first book, actually my first couple of books, we're going to talk about this just for a second and we'll discard this. My first book was an academic book. Please don't hold that against me. And I don't tell many people this. I wrote it while I was in graduate school at the University of Oklahoma, and it is a scientific treatise on something that you don't want to hear about and basically nobody cares about, like most academic books. But ever since I was in my teens, I've been a professional treasure hunter, and I've had a number of amazing experiences and adventures. And in the process of being a professional treasure hunter, I did a lot of research relative to treasures that I was looking for. And as a result, was exposed to a great deal of literature on these phenomenal tales and legends. And because I was right in the middle of this and doing a lot of my own research and searching for these things, I started writing about these. And I started submitting these to magazines, and much to my delight and, quite frankly, surprise, they purchased these articles about lost mines and buried treasures. And after about a year or so of this, I had a publisher call me up, and he said he'd been reading these articles in these magazines and asked me if I had enough for a book. And I didn't, but I lied, and I said I did. And so he sent me a contract, but I managed to get that the due date on that extended such that I would be able to come up with enough stuff to write a significant book. And that first book, I'm in my writing studio right now, and I just grabbed it off the shelf. It's called Buried Treasures of the American Southwest. That came out in 1989. It's now in about an eighth or ninth printing, and it did so well that it started, kicked off this series, which now numbers 36 books. Just on the lost mines and buried treasures, 36 books and counting. There'll be a couple more coming out in the next couple of years, and it's been great fun. I love these stories. I love researching these old legends, old tales. I love being involved in the search for truth as it relates to these things. And then every once in a while, we get lucky and we find something.
Well, and you know, this is Becky, and I got to ask you, because I loved, you know, treasure hunts were always fun, and the fact that you get to do it as part of, you know, your adventures in your life, and then you get to write about it. What would you say, now that you've got, like you said, this Buried Treasures is now in its, you know, eighth or ninth printing, and it's done so well, what do you think is, since you've experienced firsthand, what's the fascination with treasure?
The fascination with treasure, first off, they're very good stories. And as a writer, I'm in search of the stories as well as the treasure. The stories are a lot of fun, these legends and these tales. And there is also a great deal of a huge adrenaline rush associated with putting together an expedition and going in search of some of these lost mines and buried treasures. A lot of my work has been in Mexico, back at a time when you couldn't get a lot of decent maps, Mexico, back when the country was not crisscrossed with roads and fences, and it was still pretty wild. And we had a number of adventures, and we did a lot of expeditions down there. We had a lot of failures, but we always had an adventure. But every now and then we had some successes that represented a payoff, which basically we split between our partners and then used to fund the next expedition to Mexico.
Well, it's far cry from, because I know, and if anybody wants to learn more about WC, you can always find him on his website at WCJameson, that's JAMESON.com. And he's got a really great website, a little bit about all of his books and his treasure hunting and all the fun adventures he's been on. But you actually started out with your journeys of treasure hunting just by panning gold. So it's really kind of evolved, it sounds like, over the span of your career.
into this greater hunt for greater treasure. Is that right?
That's right. I did a lot of gold panning. In fact, I'm still doing it today. A lot of people don't know this, but I live about six blocks from the Llano River, and the Llano River has got gold in it. Every once in a while, I'll get out with an acquaintance or two, and we'll pan gold out of the Llano River. There are, in fact, there are more than I know. But there are three or four people that I know that weekly. They carry their dredges and their panning equipment to their so-called secret locations on the river, and they pan for gold, and this is basically how they earn their living. They'll harvest in the neighborhood of $5,000-$6,000 a month in gold nuggets on the Llano River.
Just in the Llano River. And the Llano River is so beautiful, so clear and clean.
Indeed.
And the Llano River, this is Vicki, and of course, you know, we still have our business there in Llano, WC, and when I lived there, Becky came down and she visited, so she fell in love with Llano and the river, and that truly is what Llano is all about. I mean, it's the river, and the river, she is the lifeline for everything flowing in and out of Llano County. But, you know, WC, I was really fascinated with the fact that because of all the history, you know, and you talked about, you love the stories, not just the hunt, not the treasure hunt. You love it, but the stories behind the stories. And,
right.
You know, you've been a consultant, WC, for Unsolved Mysteries, you know, the Travel Channel. Tell us a little bit about your television project and what's going on there.
Well, I got, it was in large part because of the book. Years ago, I got contacted by an outfit called Cosgrove Mirror Productions. They produced the first generation of the Unsolved Mysteries shows. Unsolved Mysteries has recently made a comeback on TV, and it's actually the same producers. I didn't have anything to do with the second generation of that, but the first generation, I was involved in about three or four or five shows relative to Lost Mines and Buried Treasure. That was my first face time on TV. And then subsequently, other channels picked up on this notion of my association with Lost Mines and Buried Treasures, and I got gigs on the Travel Channel and the Discovery Channel. I was interviewed on Nightline one time, and it's still going on. I was, in fact, we've done a lot of TV this year. Not so much related to Lost Mines and Buried Treasures, but more related to my books on Western figures, but there's a production company that is working on a series that will deal with Lost Mines and Buried Treasures of Texas. That's in a developmental stage right now, and who knows where that will go, but so far it's been quite a bit of fun.
Well, WC, we've got about 3 minutes before we go to break, and I want to save I want to talk about your books and your journeys in the next segment with your Western characters and what you've done and the research you've done with like Billy the Kid and so forth. But I am curious to know, you know, how long does it typically take you to write one of your books? Because you've written so many great stories and there's so much research that goes into it. How long does it take you to write one of your novels?
Well, it's I have written there are books that I have written in the space of 6 weeks because I had all of the material at hand, and it was usually a project that I had been thinking about for a long time, so it was kind of written in my head, and it was just a matter of me sitting in front of the computer and writing it all down. On the other hand, I've had other book projects that have taken me 12, 15 years. To complete, but this is what I do. I get up in the morning and I write. I've been for the last 50 years. I've collected research on this. I have a lot of peers in this goofy business of treasure hunting that supply me with a lot of information, and I've had a lot of experiences. And so I've got a great series of resources to draw from relative to personal experience. I have file cabinets filled with research material. And I have a lot of friends who are experts at this sort of thing that I can turn to from time to time for help.
Well, you're lucky that you have those resources because it lends to, you know, credibility for your stories and the knowledge behind. I mean, you've got a plethora of really, really awesome books, and I'm going to have to start divulging into them because I did. Last night I saw you on the History Channel talking about you were being interviewed for one of them stories of one of those characters. So I want to take a quick commercial break right now and station identification. When we come back, I want to talk more about what you're doing with your stories with Billy the Kid. We'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I'm joined tonight with my ever-so-beautiful guest co-host, Vicki Christensen-O'Shea. Guest co-host. She's my co-host. What am I talking about? You know, it's Monday. What can I say? Vicki, how are you?
I am fine, Becky. And besides being your co-host, I'm your aunt. Now, remember that, okay?
Yes, yes. And my auntie, she's going to be hitting the road here tomorrow, I think, heading to Cheyenne. Isn't that right?
Headed to Cheyenne, absolutely, Becky. Looking forward to it. Going to be gone about a week, but I can,
awesome.
You know, it's always good to get back home. So,
yeah,
looking forward
yeah.
to that.
Well, we have been spending the last half hour visiting with our guest tonight, and I am just honored to have him on the show. He's just a storyteller, singer, songwriter, book writer, poet. He's just got such a resume of accomplishments and. I'm really intrigued by everything that he's doing because I love the Western history and I love the stories and I love, you know, the Old West and the times and the treasure hunting. And he gets to do it all for a living. So talk about following your passion. And we are busy with W.T. Jameson. W.T., thank you so much for taking an hour of your night tonight and spending it with us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, heck. This is an honor, and so we've been talking a little bit about your journeys and your travels and your music and your treasure hunting, but I got to tell you, sitting back watching TV last night and listening to I believe it was the History Channel. You might have to help me out on this because I was kind of cooking dinner at the same time, but I caught you at a glimpse on TV. I'm like, whoa, hey, that's my guest tomorrow. So I stopped and I went over to see what you're doing. And I got engulfed in this wonderful, cool story about Billy the Kid and all that history. And you have done and written so many books about this outlaw. Tell us a little bit about your passion and your fascination with him and what led you to these books.
Well, I grew up in West Texas, which was kind of a, you know, over the decades, over the centuries, was kind of a hotbed for outlaws and lawmen, and a lot of activity, basically on the other side of the law, type of thing. Not too far from New Mexico, Lincoln County, of course, where Billy the Kid hung out and had his confrontations with Sheriff Pat Garrett. I've always been fascinated. By the whole outlaw mentality, a lot of these guys that we characterize as outlaws, some of them deserve it, but a lot of them were just simply rule breakers. They they refused to go along with the status quo. They had their own agenda. And I found over the years that in many ways, people admire the rule book. They're fascinated by the people who carve out a path for themselves, laws, regulations, and guidelines, be damned. And so they follow their own notions about what is right and what is wrong, what is just, what is not just. Billy the Kid was a curious fellow. He's credited with killing 21 men. It is not likely that he killed more than 4 or 5. And it can be argued that it was 4 or 5 people that needed killing. I don't set myself up as a judge on things like that. But, you know, times were different back then. But the as a youth, I read a lot about Billy the Kid, particularly Pat Garrett's book, which was titled The Authentic Life of Billy the Kid. And in reading that book, even as a somewhat inexperienced researcher, there were a lot of red flags that presented themselves to me. And I had a lot of questions. And over the years, I immersed myself into research and investigation relative to Billy the Kid, the Lincoln County War, and Pat Garrett. And here's what I found out. Pretty much everything that Sheriff Pat Garrett ever said was a lie. Pat Garrett was a pathological liar. He is an iconic lawman. He is regarded by many as sort of the lawman that represents the American West. In fact, the sheriff department at Lincoln County still wears the image of Pat Garrett on their shoulder patches. But we discovered that Pat Garrett was a debtor. He owed everybody in Mexico. He was an adulterer. He was a drunk. And he was a liar. And his book, we have just pretty much learned that just almost everything that he wrote in that book was not true. And in the process, we found out a lot about Billy the Kid. One of the things that Pat Garrett wrote about, of course, was his alleged shooting and killing of Billy the Kid in the bedroom of rancher Pete Maxwell, July 14th, 1881, in Fort Sumner, New Mexico. There are a lot of red flags in that story, too, and if you pay close attention to his account, you realize that this could not have happened the way that Pat Garrett said that it happened. So we, out of curiosity, I spent a lot of time investigating this. In the meantime, we discovered, other people actually discovered, but I spent some time studying this old man who surfaced in County, Texas, who other people said was Billy the Kid. The man was identified. There was a lot of research done on him. And to make a long story short, by the time all of the evidence was in, it was pretty clear that this old man who went by the name of Oliver L. Roberts was an alias, by the way, as were the names William Bonney, Henry Antrim, and Henry McCarty, the names that the kid went by while he was in Lincoln, New Mexico. These were all aliases. We investigated this man. We got the FBI involved. We treated this as a missing persons case, and we worked with the FBI on how would we go about proving that this guy was somebody that's been missing for 69 years, and how do we go about proving that this is the guy. And the FBI provided us with a facial recognition program and some other expertise, and we got the University of Texas Visual Image Laboratory to conduct these tests, and along with results of this spatial photo recognition study, and along with a lot of other evidence that we accumulated, we proved, and let me emphasize that word, we proved that this old man who went by the name William Henry Roberts was Billy the Kid. When we got the results back from the photo imagery studies, the investigators said that we needed to come down and take a look at it, and I said, can you just give us the information over the telephone? And he said, no, you need to come down here and look at this because you are getting ready to rewrite history. This is the same man. And
wow.
He said, well, you know, while this would never go to court, he said this imagery program used by the FBI, the CIA, Interpol, a lot of other law enforcement agencies, he said this would hold up in court. He says, you're getting ready to rewrite history. which is what we did. And the book came out in, I think, 2005. It's called Billy the Kid, Beyond the Grave. It really annoyed a lot of the Billy the Kid experts, and we expected that. And, in fact, we were gratified because we were breaking through the status quo. What you had was you had a number of publications. I mean, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of books and articles on Billy the Kid, but they all basically tell the same story. And the reason for that is that the historians didn't do any research at all. They just simply repeated one another. We went in and we did research. We did the investigation. We found all of the stuff that they missed. And we made a strong point that this man was Billy the Kid. And, in fact, we threw out a challenge. If anybody disagrees with us, we've got television, we've got newspapers, we've got magazines. Take us on and make your point, but understand that we get equal time to make our point. And, basically, we will destroy you, and nobody has taken me up on that.
And nobody.
I love a good fight, by the way.
Oh my gosh! Well, WC, this is Vicki, and you know I've spent 18 years in New Mexico, and I've been through Fort Sumner, I've been to Lincoln, and of course, you know that country is alive with Billy the Kid, and I can only imagine the fear that the truth put in a lot of people's hearts when you all discovered this, because for centuries, for years, they've been thinking a certain way, and you disproved it and showed, the truth. Wow.
Right. So, and, New Mexico state officials have our information, and they have additional information that also proves that it is not Billy the Kid that is buried in the grave at Fort Sumner. They know this, and they have, they're very well aware of it. They keep it quiet because tourism is a big thing to them, and it's important to the state of New Mexico. My argument is this benefits everybody. It's just knowledge.
Yeah.
It's information, and most importantly, it's the truth. And if you're afraid of the truth, then you need to find something else to do.
Absolutely.
Well,
amen.
And I don't think, this is Becky, and I don't think it really takes away anything from the story, so maybe he didn't kill as many people or but the fact that somebody went out and researched it, I think that adds a whole new fascination to it as to, wow, how'd they miss that? And the fact that you guys found that in itself is just a whole other adventure, I think, in the story.
Right. And as if we didn't annoy enough people with that, our second book in that series was Butch Cassidy Beyond the Grave. Which also got a lot of the quote-unquote the experts upset because we learn, and I don't know how much you actually prove relative to something that happened 100 years ago, but we have a truckload of evidence that indicated that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid were not shot down in Bolivia, Bolivian army. That's basically that whole thing. Everybody believes that because of the movie. And that story of the Bolivian army shooting them down was taken from a 1930s, basically it was a novel that had little or no research or anything to back it up. It was all kind of concocted and made up. Butch Cassidy actually returned to the United States. He spent time with his family. He spent time with his friends. And he passed away in Spokane, Washington in 1937 under an assumed name.
Wow. That's where I'm from.
Spokane, really?
That's where I'm visiting with you tonight from. Sitting here in my living room, Spokane, Washington.
Sounds good.
Here about 25
well,
years.
Well, I'll be.
So.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. And the funny thing is you share with, we have a couple minutes before we go to our last break, but I was thinking it was Billy the Kid, but actually last night it was on the History Channel, it was the Gunslingers program that I was watching on the American Heroes Channel. That's what I was watching. That's what you're on. And that's what you were talking about was Butch Cassidy, I believe.
Right.
Am I correct? So, So, is that something ongoing that you're going to be continually being a part of, and we're going to see you on there on talking about different outlaws and different folks from the wild, Western days back?
Well, we did take that segment for the Gunslingers program. I don't watch TV, so I never see this stuff. I don't spend a lot of time watching TV. We were most recently on a show, a series series on Fox News. It was called Legends and Lies, where we dealt with Butch Cassidy, where we dealt with Billy the Kid, and Black Bart, the outlaw Black Bart. I've been told that Legends and Lies is going into a second season, and they've talked to me about being part of the second season also. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do, but I think it's going to have something to do with the series of books. The other two books in that series, by the way, are John Wilkes Booth, Beyond the Grave, and the one coming out in December is, I think you're going to love this, Amelia Earhart, Beyond the Grave.
Yes.
The true story of Amelia Earhart is going to finally come out, and it's going to amaze and astound a lot of people.
Oh, and with that, we're gonna stop right there, and we're going to take a quick commercial break. But I know we've got some callers online, too, so please, callers, if you're listening, hold the line, and we will bring you on right after break. We'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen, and I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Becky Christensen of Shields. And we have been spending the hour visiting with author, songwriter, and poetry treasure hunter, Mr. W.C. Jameson. And what a fascinating life you have. You definitely can look back, I would say, and say, you know what, you lived your life to the fullest. Is there something you haven't done that you still really want to do? I mean, you've just got so much banked in your memoirs.
There's I start out every day with new goals that I try to shoot for. I never stop. I've most people predicted that I would be dead by the age of 30, and so far we've
moved. You're beating the odds.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that I haven't done that I want to do. I'm doing what I want to do right now relative to the writing, the performance, the songwriting. I get to hang around with my favorite musicians. I get to hang around with my favorite songwriters, a lot of them Grammy winners, award winners. I get to perform with them, you know, living the dream. But there's still expeditions I want to do. I'm still active. I go out on about 3 or 4 expeditions per year. Not as active as I used to be, but I'm still active, and we're still recovering lost treasure, and it never stops. I can't get enough of it. There are a couple of things that are on my list to do. I want to dive the sinkholes in Mexico, the underground waterways, these cavern systems. And I've not gotten to do that. And I want to skydive. I've never done any skydiving, and I've got a hankering to do that. And I'd sort of like to do it while I'm actually still able to walk.
Well, you'll have to write about that so I can move vicariously through you when you do it. Well, so WC, tell us, you know, when you're not out and about and doing all these fun adventures and getting these great stories and creating the history. I mean, I'm really excited to hear about your Amelia Earhart book and your research that you've done on that, because I know there's so much swirling around in the social media realm right now about the mystery behind Amelia Earhart. So maybe without telling us, the need of it, tell us a little bit about what, you know, those that want to purchase the book have to look forward to in that story.
Sure. The book is supposed to come out, I think December is what they told me. We just got out of it last week. We got out of a meeting with NBC, who wants is talking about producing a documentary on the book. But what we learned was that Amelia, our number one, her flight around the world was in part a spy mission. She was actually taking photographs of Japanese installations on a lot of the Pacific Islands. She was likely shot down. She may have run out of gas, but it was likely that she was shot down. She was captured by the Japanese. She was held in prison for a minimum of 5 years. And she was found when, at the end of the war, when the United States Office of Strategic Services invaded mainland China, which was occupied by Japan at that time, where they had their prisons, and freed all the prisoners. They found Amelia Earhart in one of the prisons, and they repatriated her back to the United States under an assumed name. It was sort of an early version of a witness protection program. And the reason for that is that she was a spy. Not only that, but she may have been. You remember the Tokyo Rose stories?
Absolutely.
The Japanese, allegedly Japanese women that broadcast over radio stations to American servicemen, basically tormenting them and haunting them while they were. This was during World War II. She may have been one of those Tokyo Roses. Anyway, when she came back, she was a spy. She may have been Tokyo Rose. So it was not in her best interest to return as Amelia Earhart. So she returned and lived out the rest of her life, believe it or not, in New Jersey under an assumed name. And we have the goods on her.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, we are running low on time, WC, and I know that we could keep talking and talking because you have so much to tell and to share, but just before we have to end the show, share with our listeners, how do they get your book?
Any good bookstore will have them, and if they don't have them, of course, you can order them. You can go to Amazon.com and order them. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com and order them. Or you can go to my website, and if you want a personalized copy, because of the demand, I try to keep an inventory in my writing studio, and so you can get them from me, and I will autograph it any way that you see fit. And we try to move them, we'd love for people to have them, and we do whatever we can to get them in the hands of the people that want to read them.
Well, and, you know, WC, I think it's real important, too. I think you lend a great bit of credibility to our younger generations, and I think these are really great stories that we need to get into the hands of the children because they're fun stories. It'll keep their attention span focused, and I think it maybe would instill some more passion in them to actually pick up the book and read it again with such great stories. Wouldn't you agree, Andy?
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Well, you know, WC, this is Vicki, and I have a question to ask you before we close, and that is Llano, Texas. Tell our listeners a little bit about Llano, Texas, and how long have you lived in Llano?
I've lived in Llano. I'm going on my ninth year. I grew up in West Texas. I went to graduate school in Norman, Oklahoma, at the University of Oklahoma. I lived in Arkansas for a number of years. I was at a university there for a period of time and decided it was time to get back to Texas, get back in the writing community that I always felt I was part of. But also, if you're a musician and you're a songwriter, most of the work is in Texas. Even while I lived in other places like Oklahoma and Arkansas and Colorado and New Mexico, I was always coming back to Texas to play my music and to visit with friends, and I just reached a point where it seemed like it was a good sense just to move back. I've always been fond of Llano. I've been in and out of Llano off and on for about 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and so when we started thinking about moving back to Texas, Llano was right there at the top of the list. We looked at places to live. We started actually at Llano, and we looked ranged south to almost San Antonio and back, and we bought the first house we looked at in Llano, Texas.
Well, I tell you what, Llano, Texas is a great place to live, WC, and I know that we love it. My family loves it in Llano County. And I just want to say thank you for, you know, for being with us tonight and sharing your stories, the stories behind the stories. And that's what we're all about here on She's Gone Country with Becky.
Yep.
And Bud,
yep.
Bud and I will see you on July 30th. We will be at the Badoo House.
Oh, good. I can't wait. And thank you for having me. This was just a heck of a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Well, and, you know, WC, I really hope that we can stay connected because, you know, our listeners know and those that have stayed, you know, follow us each and every week know that we're going to be in Vegas for the WNFR. And we would just love to invite you out to that and bring you on our show live there because I think you, nothing like a great story. And that, like Amber said, that's what we're all about. I did have one question, though, for you. We have just a couple minutes before close. When you're not busy doing your adventures and writing your books and your stories, and I know you're also a very well-published poet. Real quick, touch on your poetry. What is your poetry consist of? And then when you're traveling, what is it you're speaking on?
I don't do it quite so much anymore just because I'm up to my ears in book contracts. I used to do a lot of traveling around the country conducting writing workshops, songwriting workshops, poetry workshops. Poetry, I've always been fascinated by poetry. Some of my best friends are poets. My wife, one time, was one of the top poets in the Western United States. She's a multi-award-winning poet.
Wow.
And we've done a lot of shows at the at Elko, at the National Cowboy Poetry and Music Gathering every year. I find, at one time, I'll just show you how bright I am. At one time, I thought I was going to make my living as a poet, traveling around the country reading my poetry. It took me several months to figure that wasn't going to work, and so I did other things where I could earn a living. But I still I've got probably three published books of poetry. I still read a lot of poetry. I often read poetry for breakfast.
Wow.
I'm fascinated with what poets do. They have this. They're able to communicate. Here's what I like about it, and this is important to writers. Poets are able to communicate this wide array, this depth and this breadth of thought in so few words and so few sentences, and all writers need to know how to do this. This is brilliant.
Well, I'm excited to dive into your stories. I will be purchasing a couple books right away because I'm completely intrigued. And I really appreciate you, David. I cannot talk to BC and the time you spent with us tonight. I look forward to hearing more about your adventures. I'm going to say goodnight to our audience and to our listeners, and I'm going to turn it over to my Aunt Vicki and let her close out the show. So, WC, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much.
And WC, again, thank you so much. It's been a very special evening. We so appreciate you and everything you contribute to the Western way of life and keeping our way of life vivid and colorful and alive to the younger generation. We're going to close out our program right now with a very lovely lady, Crystal Lyons, and a little cowgirl logic. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I'm Crystal Lyons, and we were in the process of loading a broodmare who hadn't been hauled much using the technique taught by so many clinicians of tapping on the horse's hip, and when they step forward, you stop tapping and pet them. In no time at all, it teaches a horse to load, keeping him quiet in the process. Well, after about 15 minutes of this, a lady watching from a nearby parking lot came and accused us of beating the horse. I was horrified, and I tried to explain the process to her and invited her to stay and watch, and she did, and called the cops. Well, the mare gave it up pretty quickly, and as we were shutting the trailer door behind her, two cop cars pulled up, and they asked us a few questions, and then they asked to see her dog. And when Huckleberry came out dragging out from under the motorhome, these guys busted out laughing. And they said that she had called in and said some people were torturing a horse with a pitchfork, no less, and a pit bulldog. Well, the only thing that Huckleberry would ever torture was a biscuit. Well, these guys apologized for our trouble and sent us on our way. But I was amazed how far from the actual truth this lady's perception was. She couldn't see reality in front of her eyes because she was blinded by her own perception. Well, I'm wondering, are we the same with God?
What's influencing your perception of God? If you're allowing the world's opinion to shape yours about Him, then I can promise you, you're as ignorant of truth in that area as that woman is in the area of handling animals. It's a dangerous misconception, because your eternal destiny is determined by your choices, and your choices are made according to your perception. What if your perception is wrong?